Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. About 5 years ago, my mom gave me a big rectangular present for Christmas. And in my mom's typical fashion, the wrapping was elaborate. And I kept wondering what this gift could be. Was it something I had asked for? Some tools for my toolbox, perhaps? Or was it something special I had no clue about? The bulky package was handed to me, and I began to rip off the bows and the ribbons and the paper covering to find a Red Ryder BB gun. Like from the movie The Christmas Story. My mom knew that I loved that movie. She always said that I looked like the protagonist when I was growing up because I had these really big glasses. And she was always an amazing gift giver, but to receive this when I was 30 years old was kind of puzzling to me. I certainly had no clue what to expect, but it certainly wasn't this BB gun. So I held up the gift so that it covered my face, and I exclaimed, "Oh, wow, thank you," as I didn't want to disappoint her with my bewildered look. But my wife, who was at the angle, saw my real expression, and she tried her hardest to stifle a laugh. Have you ever been given a gift, and it turned out not to be what you thought it would be? If so, you'd have a lot in common with the people who received Jesus on Palm Sunday. You see, they thought Jesus was the gift that would take Roman imperial power out of the equation. They thought Jesus was the ticket to make Israel a great nation again. They thought that he had come as the Lion of Judah. And so he was going to enter the holy city of Jerusalem, the Lion's Way. And so Jesus descends the Palm Sunday road, the pathway of the Messiah, from the Mount of Olives, and the people are laying branches down before him. And they cry out, "Hosanna," which means save us, save us. They were declaring Jesus to be their king who brings salvation. And in a very real way, this was a coronation. And normally when we think about the size of this crowd, we usually imagine a decent turnout. A decent one. But Josephus, a Jewish historian, once estimated around 3 million folks. Wow. I mean, this was Passover time. And Jesus was heading down the road that the Messiah had to take, according to biblical prophecy. This would have been a big, big deal. Much bigger than what we usually think. And so in the minds and the hearts of the people, the Messiah, the Lion of Judah, was coming. And he would have to enter the city through the golden gates. I can see it now. Hopes were high. People were very excited. They were crying out for salvation. And Jesus would deliver. Just not in the way that they thought he would. For the Lion's Way was completely upside down from what they had expected. Even though Scripture foretold the suffering and the shame of the cross. For the Lion's Way is the way of humility and obedience and sacrifice. When Jesus entered through the golden gate of the city, the people were expecting a military leader like King David. They wanted victory over their enemies. Instead, what they got was the Paschal Lamb. So let us fathom the Lion's Way this morning. What it means to follow in Jesus' footsteps in the way of humility, obedience, and sacrifice. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, found on page 435. A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, so he stayed home from church with his mother. And his father returned from worship holding a palm branch. And the little boy was curious and asked, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today. The little boy replied, "Oh man, the one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up." My friends, Jesus always shows up. Always. He's with us this morning in word and sacrament. He's with us by his Spirit. And he wants us to pick up our cross and follow him. He's not interested in fans. He desires followers. He wants us to follow in the lion's way, the path of humility, obedience, and sacrifice. The prophet Isaiah speaks of God's faithful servants. The power of God's word leads his people to a new exodus out of the land of slavery and death. And this servant has an instructed tongue, a learned tongue, to speak life, to speak freedom. But how is this servant treated? How is he treated? He's confronted with violence. "I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting." The servant has humbled himself before the Lord. He's walking in the fear of the Lord. And because he's obedient, he endures suffering. But from whose hands? From whose hands? Isaiah does not tell us. Yet we know full well whose hands they were, both Jew and Roman, representing the whole world. Yes, the servant is Jesus. And his pattern is the lion's way, the path of humility, obedience, and sacrifice. But people object. Shouldn't the lion roar? After all, isn't he the king? Shouldn't he take what is his by force and brute strength? Why should a lion have to suffer? Why indeed? We have our answer in Paul's Christ hymn from our Philippians passage. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. There it is. Plain to see. Humility, obedience, and sacrifice. The lion's way. The lion's way. And you and I are meant to walk that way. The young man in college always drove through Dallas trying to make his morning class on time. And on his way, he would always drive by a big box church with a huge sign that said, "Lifting up the name of Jesus." Yet one day as he drove past, he noticed workers tearing down the sign. They were ripping it completely up. "That's not lifting up the name of Jesus," he thought. "They're shredding his name up." Yet in this transitory life, things are not always what they appear to be. When we look at Jesus' final hours, we see people trying to tear him up, to destroy his very name. And they attempt at doing this by lifting him up upon the hard wood of the cross. They try to tear him down by lifting him up on a tree. Jesus' humility and obedience has led him to the place of the skull, the place of death. Walking the lion's way has led to Golgotha. And as they lift him up, we see that the lion has become the Passover lamb. A new exodus out of sin, out of death, out of slavery and bondage to the powers of hell has already begun. But we also see that humility, obedience, and sacrifice entail putting our very lives into the hand of God. Putting our very lives into his hand. Psalm 31 reveals this to us. In Luke's account of the crucifixion, we see that the very last thing that Jesus says comes from Psalm 31. "Into your hand I commend my spirit." Into your hand. This is where the lion's way ultimately takes us to, a place where we surrender ourselves completely to the will of our Father. And reading the psalm in light of Jesus' passion, we get a glimpse from an insider's perspective of what it means to put all our cares, all our hopes, all our dreams, everything into the hand of God. It will cost everything. There will be insults and danger and traps. There will be trouble and anguish and scorn. There will be rumors and conspiring and being ignored. There will be the laying down of your life. The laying down of your life. The offering of your life poured out into the hand of God. I entrust my spirit into your hand, O Lord. This is the lion's way. But for the average American, this is a big stumbling block, is it not? Here we pray for the burden of suffering to be lifted from our backs. Yet my friends elsewhere in the world pray for stronger backs so they can bear their suffering. Here we look away from the homeless person under the bridge for the latest Amazon special online. Here we prefer going out to the show or the sports arena instead of visiting those in prison or hospitals. We attempt at holding back suffering as much as we possibly can. We try to hold on to our lives, and all the while life is slipping through our fingers. The lion's way is the path to sacrifice. It is a life of giving up ourselves over to the will and service of God. For Jesus, who never sinned, was made the offering for sin. The lion was made the lamb, and he hung between two thieves. He was lifted up so that his life might be torn down. He was torn down so that he might be lifted up. And yet, as his life is poured out into God's hand, some extraordinary life-giving events take place. The temple curtain is torn from top to bottom. You see, the new covenant, this new relationship has already begun. It has been made in Jesus' blood, in his sacrifice. And some who are dead are raised from their graves. Now, I don't know about you, but in my 35 years, I've never heard in a sermon, not once, any mention of these folks who were raised from the dead at Jesus' death. But their part in the story is so crucial. For the lion's way of humility, obedience, and sacrifice does not end in death. Quite the opposite. In fact, in Jesus' death, the earth shakes and the dead are raised to life. St. Hilary comments, "The earth shook, for the earth could not hold this dead man. Rocks were split, for the word of God and the power of his eternal goodness rushed in, penetrating every stronghold and principality. Graves were opened, for the gates of death had been unlocked, and a number of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep arose, dispelling the shadows of death and illuminating the darkness of hell. Christ destroyed the spoils of death itself at the resurrection of the saints who saw him immediately." The centurion who witnessed this disturbance of the entire natural order confessed him to be the Son of God. The death of Jesus, the commending of his spirit into the hands of his Father, is the cause of life. It is important to note that the lion's way does not end in death. It ends in resurrection and vindication. And so we return once more to the Christ hymn in Philippians. Because of Jesus' humility, because of his obedience, because of his sacrifice, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. All other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You can't keep the lion down. You can't keep him down. His pathway leads through death to everlasting life. He who humbled himself has been exalted. He who was obedient unto death has been given the name above every name, the name above all names. I started today sharing about receiving a gift I did not expect. When Jesus walked the lion's way, it was certainly not what people were hoping for. Humility, obedience, sacrifice. They wanted to see the lion roar, not the lion led to a Roman cross. But what a gift Jesus is for the world. The gift of all gifts, eternal life. And he tells the two disciples on the Emmaus Road after his resurrection that the Messiah had to suffer. He had to suffer the cross. And at his first coming, Jesus walked the lion's way all the way to Calvary. But he is coming back soon. And at his second coming, Jesus will touch base on the Mount of Olives once more. And he'll descend down that mountain into Jerusalem through the Golden Gate. And if you go to the Mount of Olives today, you will see countless Jewish graves buried along the way of the Messiah. For the Jewish people believe that when the Messiah comes, all the dead along that path will be raised to life. But the Messiah has already come. He's already come. And he is returning soon. And if you go all the way to the Golden Gate today, you will find it blockaded by a Muslim cemetery, put there to keep the Messiah from actually coming through that gate. It's not impressive whatsoever. It's quite comical. As if a cemetery is going to stop the mighty Lion of Judah from entering into Jerusalem. But Jesus will walk this way again. He will touch down on the Mount of Olives. He will walk down the mountain through the Golden Gate. And when he returns in great majesty and glory, he will judge the living and the dead. And his kingdom will have no end. And everyone then will hear him roar. Everyone. And it will be a terror for many. And it will be a joy for countless others. And he will lead his people all the way to a new Jerusalem for those who have walked in his footsteps, for those who have walked in humility and obedience and sacrifice, for those who have committed their lives into the hand of God, for those who have walked the lion's way. This morning, are you walking along this path? Does your life look and resemble anything like his? Are you merely a spectator of Jesus? Just an admirer of the crowd, nothing more? Or are you willing to put your faith, your hope, and your love into the hand of God? Are you willing to lay down your life for Jesus' sake and the sake of his gospel and of the kingdom? Because Jesus is the author of life. And he has promised that if we do, we will find life. And the way to this life is following in his footsteps. For he has opened the gate of glory. The way to this life is following in the lion's way. Humility, obedience, and sacrifice. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant. And in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the strength to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.